Southern FM. The sounds of the Bayside.
This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
And coming up right now is The Space Show. Welcome to The Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, Freefire 2 is in orbit, and ESPA moves on from its Optimus failure. So first up, we'll start out with Space Show News.
Planet Earth is blue.
On Saturday afternoon, Rocket Lab was ready to launch the second of two pre-fire satellites for NASA. The Space Show followed the action closely.
Just 7 days ago, the first satellite for NASA's pre-fire mission was launched from right here at Rocket Lab Launch Complex 1 in New Zealand. And today, integrated to the Electron rocket, is the second pre-fire satellite ready to launch to space to begin its climate change-focused mission for NASA. My name is Muriel Baker. Thank you for joining us for our 49th Electron mission today. This launch is called Pre-Fire and ICE, and we have a liftoff target time today set for 3:13 p.m. local time, or 0313 UTC. Today's launch is the second of two back-to-back launches for the pre-fire mission. The first launch on Electron took place just last week from the same launch pad to deliver the first pre-fire satellite to its 525-kilometre orbit. Pre-fire stands for Polar Radiant Energy in the Far Infrared Experiment, and it's a mission designed for a pair of tiny satellites, each about the size of a shoebox, to measure heat loss from the Arctic and Antarctica to help improve climate and ice loss models that better predict Earth's ice, sea level, and weather changes. Once the second satellite is deployed on this mission, both 6U CubeSats will lap the Arctic and Antarctica on crisscrossing trajectories. Both will be set at a 525-kilometre altitude and a 97.5-degree inclination for the 10-month mission. The reason for the focus on the polar regions is because the Arctic and Antarctica behave like Earth's thermostat. They vent out to space the excess energy that Earth receives in the tropics, and the difference between the amount of heat that Earth absorbs and radiates is a key influence on the planet's temperature. But how the behaviour of clouds and water vapour at the polar regions affects Earth's climate has been an atmospheric mystery for years, and the far infrared emissions at the poles have never been systematically measured before. This is the goal of NASA's pre-fire mission.
The launch of Pre-Fire 1 had been delayed by bad weather on the east coast of the North Island, giving Radio New Zealand time to invite a mission scientist into the studio for a chat.
Ready, aim, pre-fire. Rocket Lab and NASA are gearing up to launch an experimental satellite to monitor Earth's polar regions. The mission called Pre-Fire, short for, wait for it, Polar Radiant Energy in the Far Infrared Experiment, includes two shoebox-sized satellites, or CubeSats, to find out how much heat the Earth's polar regions radiate out to space and how that influences our climate. Now, the first launch was scheduled for this afternoon, but is delayed until Saturday due to weather. We're joined in our Auckland studio by University of Wisconsin professor and principal investigator for the mission, Tristan Lekiwa. Good morning to you, and thank you for joining us on the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
This is a pretty exciting-sounding mission. How are you feeling ahead of the delay? I guess there's a lot riding on this and a lot of work put in.
Yeah, this was about a 10-year development to get the satellites and everything all built and ready to go. So we're actually not too worried about a three-day delay at the end of this. We're just excited for a hopefully very successful launch on Saturday.
So take me back 10 years when you're thinking, what are you thinking? That you're trying to measure, I guess, climate issues around heat from the polar regions when you're adamant the only way to do it is from space?
Yeah, that's the problem with some of these remote areas of the planet. It's very hard to bring instruments out there, even to fly aircraft in those areas. We have some field campaigns that measure little parts of the Arctic and the Antarctic and also the Pacific Ocean, but we really can't measure the entire process and measure the entire amount of heat that's coming out without using a satellite up in orbit.
So what are you hoping for? What's the best case scenario in terms of data here?
So it would be really great if these two satellites were able to work for the full year that they're supposed to work for, possibly even beyond that, they would last a little longer, to be able to measure a portion of the emitted energy that's never been measured before, about two-thirds of the energy that's emitted from the Antarctic region and about 60% or so from the Arctic hasn't really been systematically mapped out before. And we also don't really understand then exactly what the things like clouds, moisture, even the changing surface conditions that we have, like the melting of the ice sheet or the change from sea ice to ocean, how that influences the amount of energy that's being emitted from the poles. So the goal would be to have a year, maybe even a little bit more than that, of data to be able to study that.
And would you be looking for trends here? Because is it wax and wane, the energy output?
Yes, it does. We're seeing that it's increasing in time as the globe warms. But what we're actually really after here is understanding more of the processes that influence that radiation that's being emitted. And then the goal is to actually incorporate the knowledge into our climate models and see if the climate models can predict how that may evolve into the future. And more importantly, how that will affect the weather conditions and the sea level that we're all experiencing around the world.
Just finally, the satellites themselves, what, they're very small. So and they just, what, fall out of the space slowly, do they?
Yeah, that's right. Because they're so small, they don't have any fuel on board, so they can't make any adjustments during their orbit. So we're going to release them. Rocket Lab will release them about 525 kilometers above the surface of the Earth, and they'll very slowly fall in toward the Earth. And so after about 3 to 5 years, somewhere in that range, they'll be too low to be functional anymore. But hopefully at that point, maybe we'll be able to launch a couple more.
Right, so in terms of the satellite process, sometimes these things go wrong, don't they? But, I mean, they're getting better and better all the time. You got your fingers crossed on this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rocket Lab has had a lot of very good success recently, so we're very confident in their ability to launch these satellites. And the other really strong point about Rocket Lab is that they're able to launch these two satellites. So we are expecting a second launch within about a week of the first. They're able to very quickly turn around, get another rocket out onto the launch pad and launch the second CubeSat quickly. So that was a real plus for us, and we're hoping to have data from both satellites within about a month after launch.
Is that right? So you can get it within a month, and then and who's involved here? Is this a shared sort of study?
Yeah, so it's primarily led by NASA and the United States, but NASA's policy is always as soon as the data is available to make it available to everyone in the world. I have collaborations with people in Canada, in Europe, even in New Zealand now. As part of my mission here is to actually meet a few people at various University of Victoria and University of Auckland and talk with them. And so we'll make the data available to everybody in the world, and we're hoping that the world scientific community can use the data to improve our knowledge of what's going to happen in the future.
Thank you very much for coming into the studio. That is Tristan Lequeya from the University of Wisconsin, a professor, and helping with this really exciting project Rocket Lab and NASA are doing to help read polar energy emissions.
And that report from Radio New Zealand's national program. Well, at first, all seemed to go well with the preparations to launch Prefire 2 on Saturday.
We are coming up on T-minus 12 minutes to launch, and very soon our launch director today, Yulia Wembacher, will check in with each operator station in Mission Control in Auckland and Range Control at Launch Complex 1 on whether they are green and ready to proceed with launch. So let's listen in.
To all operators, LDN Mission Code, proceeding now with the go, no-go sequence, starting with stage.
Stages go.
Avionics.
Avionics is go.
GNC.
GNC's go.
And VCON.
VCON's go.
T1.
T1 is go.
And GC.
GC is go.
PLS.
PLS is go.
RSO.
RSO is go.
And MET.
MET is go.
RF.
RF is go.
And MM.
MM is go.
LDSUP.
LDSUP is go.
The go no go sequence is complete. We are currently T minus 11 minutes and 9 seconds and counting. We are go for the terminal count auto sequence at T minus 10 minutes. From this time onwards, the 3-word procedure is in effect.
And all seemed to be going well. Then, just minutes before the expected liftoff, came the 3 words we did not want to hear.
As we head into T-minus 4 minutes in the count, the next major milestone we're listening out for is the start of the auto sequence, where Electron takes over the count all the way down to T0. So we'll hand you over now to Mission Control to take it from here for the remainder of the count, and then we'll be back with you shortly after liftoff.
LD, GC on mission cord.
GC, LD.
LD, the ECS is disabled. Pad auto sequence is armed. The pad is ready for launch.
Copy, thank you. To all operators, LD admission code. From now on, there should be no red flags on your critical LCCs. Beacon, LD admission code.
LD beacon.
Please lock the auto sequence and confirm.
Auto sequence is locked.
Please confirm all expected primary flight computer ASCOs are green.
Confirmed.
We are go for auto sequence started. T minus 2 minutes. LD is gone for launch.
And hold, hold, hold.
To all operators, LD and mission code. We are proceeding now with the LV unpaired securization and ECS enable sequence.
We've just heard a hold, hold, hold call from mission control there, so now we are listening out to hear what the latest information is for launch ops.
Intro operators, LD and mission code. At this point, we are proceeding with the preparations for LOX D-Tank. PLS LD mission code.
LD PLS.
Please proceed with the PLS prep and D-Tank sequence.
Copy, prepping with PLS D-Tank.
A final update here from Mission Control that unfortunately, with the remaining time left in the window now exhausted, we will have to wave off for today's launch attempt for NASA Prefire. We have plenty more opportunities to launch in the rest of the window though, so keep an eye on our social media channels for an update with a new launch date. This is Rocket Lab Mission Control signing off.
On Sunday, Rocket Lab announced the launch was cancelled because liquid oxygen temperatures were out of bounds for the flight. Well, this afternoon, Rocket Lab had another go at launching Prefire. Here, time compressed is how it happened.
Mission code, from now on there should be no red flags on your critical LCCs. Beacon, LD mission code.
LD beacon.
Please lock the auto sequence and confirm.
Auto sequence is locked.
Beacon, please confirm all expected primary flight computer ASCOs are green.
That's confirmed.
We go for an auto sequence start at T-minus 2 minutes. LDs go for launch.
Vehicle is fully on internal power. AFTSs are green and enabled for flight.
LOX load is complete. System is in recirculation. Anti-geysering is disabled.
Stage 1 and stage 2 tanks are pressed for flight.
High flow engine purge enabled.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2... One. Lift off.
Stage one propulsion.
There goes our 49th Electron rocket soaring off the pad at Launch Complex 1 and on its way to space for NASA.
And 50 minutes later, the Kickstage and Prefire 2 were travelling northwards west of Ireland.
Welcome back to the webcast of our second Electron launch for the NASA Prefire Climate Change Mission. Earlier today, our 49th Electron rocket lifted off from Rocket Lab Launch Complex 1 in New Zealand with its NASA satellite on board for a clean ascent through the usual launch milestones, including Max-Q, first stage engine shutdown, stage separation, and second stage engine start. After a nominal ascent with the second stage to the mission's target perigee of over 200 kilometres, the kick stage was was separated and has just completed its first half pass of Earth. We're now approaching the startup of the Kickstage's Curie engine to reposition the stage to a circular orbit.
Curie ignition confirmed.
Curie engine startup confirmed there by Mission Control. That will mean the Kickstage is now out of its initial elliptical orbit and onto its 525-kilometre circular path ahead of the payload deployment of the NASA Prefire satellite. We also heard over Mission Control there that we have had the successful shutdown of the Kickstage's Curie engine, and that means we are now only moments away from payload deployment for NASA's Prefire satellite, set to be delivered to its 525-kilometre target orbit to begin its mission to collect data.
Prefire 2, deployment confirmed.
Welcome to space, NASA Prefire. That is payload deployment complete for the second of two satellites for NASA's Prefire mission. Now, the second Prefire satellite will join the first on its collective mission to monitor the heat lost to space from the Arctic and Antarctica. So congratulations to NASA and to the Rocket Lab team for another mission success for Electron. That is 49 Electrons launched, now only one more to go to reach Electron's 50th launch milestone. But until then, thank you so much for joining us for today's launch. This is Rocket Lab Mission Control signing off.
And those events happened this afternoon. The launch of two Prefire satellites has given Rocket Lab a chance to crow about how they have launched other satellites to fight climate change from space. They point out that just because satellites might be small doesn't mean they can't support big science. The company says it is proud to have launched numerous missions on Electron focused on weather and climate change. A company release goes on to describe them. Eutropics was a NASA project aimed at monitoring the formation and evolution of tropical cyclones and hurricanes. In the words of Rocket Lab,
NASA's TROPICS constellation of four satellites monitors the formation and evolution of tropical cyclones, including hurricanes, and provides rapidly updating observations of storm intensity. This data will help scientists better understand the processes that affect these high-impact storms, ultimately leading to improved modeling and prediction. Rocket Lab launched the constellation across two separate missions on Electron in May of 2023. This observing system offers an unprecedented combination of horizontal and temporal resolution to measure environmental and intercore conditions for tropical cyclones on a nearly global scale and is a profound leap forward in the temporal resolution of several key parameters needed for detailed study of high-impact meteorological events.
And TROPICS 5 and 6 were launched on May the 8th last year, followed by TROPICS 3 and 7 on May the 26th. On October the 7th of 2022, Rocket Lab launched the Gazelle satellite. Aboard Gazelle was an Argo receiver provided by General Atomics, NOAA, and the United States Space Force. The mission objective was to collect data from globally distributed sensors monitoring Earth's physical and biological environment, including weather and climate.
The Argos 4 payload is part of the International Argos program that collects data from thousands of sensors and transmitters located around the world. Argos data is collected and distributed for use in numerous applications, and helps provide a better understanding of Earth's physical and biological environment, including its weather and climate, biodiversity and ecosystems, as well as assist with maritime security, offshore pollution, and humanitarian assistance. Information gathered via the Argos system also enables industries to comply with environmental protection regulations. Argos has most famously been used to track wildlife, particularly marine mammals and sea turtles, since the 1980s. There are currently 22,000 active transmitters around the world that the Argos system is monitoring, with almost 7,800 tracking wildlife.
On November the 4th of 2022, Rocket Lab launched the MATS satellite, M-A-T-S, and this was for the Swedish National Space Agency.
Electron launched a science research satellite by space systems provider OHB Sweden for the Swedish National Space Agency in November 2022. The payload was called MATS, an acronym for Mesospheric Airglow Aerosol Tomography and Spectroscopy. It was the basis for the Swedish National Space Agency's science mission to investigate atmospheric waves and better understand how the upper layer of Earth's atmosphere interacts with wind and weather patterns closer to the ground.
And beginning in 2018, multiple Electron rockets have placed numerous Flock and other satellites into orbit for Planet Labs.
Planet designs, builds, and launches smaller Earth imaging satellites that image Earth's landmass daily to help researchers, students, businesses, and authorities discover patterns, detect early signals of change, and make timely, informed decisions. Rocket Lab has launched multiple Planet SmallSats across three Electron missions since launches began in 2017.
On March the 22nd of 2021, Rocket Lab orbited four Australian satellites, along with the Veery Hatchling for the Care Weather Company.
The Veery Hatchling mission was a test of Care Weather's vertically integrated satellite power, computing, and avionics systems in a one-unit cube satellite. It paved the way for Care Weather's future constellation of scatterimetric radar weather satellites capable of producing hourly maps of global wind speed and direction over the surface of the ocean. Veery Hatchling was the first step in Care Weather's mission to save lives and livelihoods by better forecasting Earth's extreme weather.
Planet Earth is blue.
This is The Space Show. On our March 20 program this year, we reported that ESPA's Over the Rainbow hyperspectral imager was aboard the Australian-built Optimus satellite that was launched on March the 5th. Unfortunately, that satellite was never heard from after its deployment from its SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. Most of the companies that had payloads aboard Optimus have made no public statement about the failure. On Thursday, May the 30th, ESPA released a statement. Reading between the lines, it is basically saying, "We're not happy." Here is ESPA's release, which we have modified only slightly to make it radio-friendly. For example, where the release says OTR, we have replaced it with Over the Rainbow, which is what OTR stands for. Now, ESPA's release is headlined, and I quote, "ESPA reaffirms commitment to Earth observation despite initial setback with OTR-1.
ESPA today addresses the unfortunate circumstances surrounding its first hyperspectral payload, Over the Rainbow 1. Launched last March aboard Space Machines Optimus satellite, Over the Rainbow 1 marked a significant milestone as Australia's first commercial Earth observation mission in orbit. However, in the weeks following the launch, ESPA received disheartening news that the satellite was lost due to unforeseen technical difficulties. Space Machines, despite their best efforts, failed to establish communication with the satellite. Despite this setback, ESPA remains steadfast in its mission to provide affordable cutting-edge Earth observation data. While the loss of Over the Rainbow 1 is undoubtedly a mishap, it has also been a valuable learning experience," said Shoa Bigbel, Chief Executive Officer of ESPA. "We have identified key areas for improvement and are already implementing changes to ensure greater success in future missions. ESPA's experience with Over the Rainbow 1 has underscored the importance of robust satellite tracking and communication systems. Moving forward, ESPA is taking proactive measures to mitigate similar risks. These include stringent vetting processes for satellite providers and enhanced pre-launch testing protocols. ESPA is now focused on the upcoming launch of its second satellite, Over the Rainbow 2, scheduled for late 2024. This mission will be carried out in collaboration with the Indian Space Research Organisation, leveraging their experience and proven track record in satellite deployment and management. Our partnership with the Indian Space Research Organisation represents a significant step forward," Iqbal added. "We are confident that Over the Rainbow 2 will successfully build on the groundwork laid by Over the Rainbow 1. In the interim, ESPA has started to serve its clients using data with its new initiative, Over the Rainbow Nexus. Over the Rainbow Nexus is currently leveraging industry partners to provide valuable Earth observation data to clients. This collaborative approach ensures a steady stream of valuable Earth observation data, even as the company prepares for its next major launch. The Over the Rainbow Nexus mission project plays a strategic role within the broader Over the Rainbow campaign, bridging the gap between the initial setback with Over the Rainbow 1 and the anticipated success of Over the Rainbow 2. ESPRA's commitment to advancing Earth observation technology remains unwavering. Setbacks are an inevitable part of pioneering new frontiers, concluded Iqbal. What matters is how we respond and learn from them. With the development of Over the Rainbow Nexus and the upcoming launch of Over the Rainbow 2, we are more determined than ever to deliver on our promises and contribute to a better understanding of our planet. Additionally, ESPRA is continuously developing its data and analytics platform, EarthTones. This innovative platform aims to provide clients with unparalleled access to Earth observation data, enabling them to make informed decisions based on real-time insights. It offers a highly customizable data acquisition experience, allowing users to choose their desired area and output based on their specific requirements. ESPRA views this drawback as a springboard for continuous improvement. This growth mindset positions the company for a trajectory of continued success. With the upcoming launch of Over the Rainbow 2, the strategic Over the Rainbow Nexus initiative providing a data bridge, and the development of the EarthTones platform empowering informed decision-making, ESPRA remains firmly on track to deliver on its promises and make significant contributions to saving the planet through data.
And this has been episode 64 of the Space Show's Planet Earth series.
Planet Earth is blue.